So that's one thing we can discuss next week. I think before we get too far off this, we kind of already have an answer to help you guys understand what the true cost to the city is on this slide right here. And Matt can talk about it a little bit more. But there's a lot of little elements to this whole cruise ship policy discussion. I want to get back to your other thought, which is understanding what the question about how cruise ships go from season to season or what the demand is. I think you were getting at, we need to understand the demand so that we know how to respond to the demand. And I guess I would flip the question around for us to discuss. There's going to be a demand, so we need to understand how we want to respond to that demand. If there are certain months of the year where we just know it's not going to work in Rockland, or are there other months where, hey, you know what, we're going to see how it works, see how it goes based on the true cost of the policy that we
just
talked
about.
Could we
please also, I would be very curious to know, especially in regard to the big boats, the big ships, where do the passengers go when they come ashore? Because this last time I saw two things, and I guess maybe chagrined to say that it didn't look too bad to me, that I saw a lot of gray-haired people walking as far up as the north end of town. And then I did see people getting back on the launch or with shopping bags from the store that sells remade sails. What's that store?
Sea bags.
And I'm like, well, okay. And it seemed funny that they had a bag in a bag. I'm like, ooh. But I would be curious to know where they go, because they don't all stay here.
Nope.
And well, that survey must have some of that information.
I think, I'm not going to oversell the survey, but I do think that it's informative in the sense that it gives you a picture for whatever it's worth, pro and con, to read the survey and say, this is a snapshot, so I suggest you take a look at it, and it will help you start to formulate some answers to your questions.
Anecdotally,
whether or not you agree,
I was in Camden Sunday afternoon, and one of the storekeepers said, because they were swamped too, one of the storekeepers said they were told that about 25% of the passengers from the ship were coming to Camden.
Yeah.
That's just anecdotally.
Anecdotally based on something that's about 12 months old, and the updated information would be available from the same source, then that would be the Chamber of Commerce, because they know that 1 year ago it was about 25% who came ashore, got on an excursion bus, and went somewhere, whether it was to Booth Bay or Camden Hills or whatever. And of those, they have a percentage about 4 hours were spent either in the morning before they got on the bus, or 4 hours in the afternoon when they came back from being on the excursion, per passenger on average. And so that information might be something that we could get from, or somebody could get from the chamber for the current year.
See, I think we should be much more fruitful for us to be thinking about along the lines of, such as develop, proposing the bare bones anyway, of a way of estimating costs, maybe just slotting in some standard numbers that increase with the cost of living over time. We don't have to prove that it's absolute. It's like property taxation. It doesn't matter what the city actually assesses your real estate at, providing everybody is assessed according to the same principle. So if we had a principle that was adjustable for the same reasons over time. In other words, it wasn't some kind of just like arbitrary setting of a number and a new fee to squeeze some more money, but we actually had a principle that we applied, like the cost of living, for example. The increase in the cost of living, and this is just a total, for example, could be indexed to the cost of living. The fees, part of the fees could be indexed that way. That's doable. It doesn't have to be provable that it represents the absolute cost, but as long as it's consistently used throughout the future to review and revise these fees, we're on pretty solid ground there, I think. The second thing is, we ought to be looking at, like, you say that the city has a restriction on visits to certain months of the year. It'd be well worth our while to see whether we feel that we can support that. And if so, say so. And if we have recommendations about that, say what they are.
On a policy level, since cruise ships first started coming, the city has said, you can't come in July and August. That didn't require an act of the council. It was just, it made no sense whatsoever for them to come during the Lobster Festival or during the Blues Festival.
What backs that up in terms of enforcement?
The harbor master. He just says, no, you can't come.
So, I mean, David, I think...
And so putting that in as a policy... Is an important thing.
I think that's a
when
good
you
thing.
Talk about fees, though. I'll just bring this up: is there is a federal law that says you cannot charge more for a passenger coming ashore than the cost of delivering that service. If that's, there's a lost opportunity right. in fees, you can't charge that. You may be able to couch it in something else so that nobody knows.
Yeah.
But there's a real argument for knowing exactly how much it costs.
Yeah.
But if it really only costs us $3, they could turn around and say, well, then why the hell are you charging us $10? Mm-hmm. The extra money is because what we need to do is buy a new public landing. It gets back to the Fishbier question. Is how do you pay for the long-term maintenance of something like that?
So does the federal law only limit us to the on-the-day costs?
Yes.
It doesn't allow you to amortize longer-range costs.
If you've been following some of this stuff, yeah. This goes to Alaska, and is it Juneau, where the cruise ships sued... the town of Juneau, because they were charging something like $16 per passenger, and they were using that money to put a dolphin stew in the middle of the harbor.
Dolphins. Dolphins in Alaska?
And they were paying for a community development officer through that money, and they lost in court basically because it was not a cost that was directly attributable to serving the ship.
Okay.
And so it has to be something. It has to be a justifiable number, and I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
It really should reflect the costs, and the costs can be anything we want it to be if we're replacing the public landing.
What about the costs of infrastructure that might be needed, projecting those costs? Because that's real.
That would probably be okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So I think this is really good because you were helping ourselves sort of define what we're supposed to be, what we're going to be talking about next week, and I think it relates to, first and foremost, or in order of no priority. So I just want to make sure I'm reflecting it.
Developing a tool.
I don't even think this is. I think the battery's.
But it looks good.
Developing a tool to identify the true cost to the municipality and potentially to the city in general.
That may not be allowable, though. Is that what we're hearing?
No, but it may be an important policy number. If it looks like it's costing the town more than we can make, then we shouldn't be doing it.
And then I put here, can we support the current cruise policy?
You mean the cruise season policy?
Yep. Does that seem like one thing we're discussing? And I think that gets back to the comment about that I was trying to make about asking yourself, not necessarily... what makes sense in terms of the industry going up and down the coast of Maine and New England, but what makes sense for capacity here in Rockland?
Capacity.
Yep. I think one of the things that I agree that you need to have a good accounting of costs. You also have to have a good accounting of the benefits. I think one of the problems is focusing on the dollar and the dollar value is you tend to measure those things which are measurable in dollars. There are other softer things that maybe are more difficult to measure, like the pollution that one of these ships can bring in. I mean, the last estimate I saw that a ship idling overnight is equivalent to, because they're doing bunker number 3, is the equivalent of about 350,000 cars idling. So what's the cost to the town of having 350,000 cars idling and the sulfur, whatever it is, blowing over the town? You can't put a number on that. You can't put a number on some of the cultural impacts of having, I think that Rockland is becoming more and more sort of the mid-coast center of the arts. Well, do we want to be a Bar Harbor center for gift shops and T-shirts.
Well, see, that's why I think we should focus on the things that we can measure. And there is such a thing as the capitalist economy, which does tend, never mind what you think about it, does tend to take care of a lot of things on its own. And it's not a popular thing to say in some circles. Other circles would be, I'd be carried around the room on somebody's shoulders for saying something like that. The truth is all I'm really interested in is that when we talked a while ago about the capacity of the harbor to produce services, whether the city should be doing these things or whether we should be letting private industry take care of them, my argument was that private industry will take care of the things it can afford to that are rational, that it can rationally do.
No.
So there's a lot of...
Nevertheless, Carnival Cruise Lines is buying Main Street Juno when DuPont is buying Bicknell's, and that is not...
Well, you tell me how you forbid somebody with capital investing in a piece of real estate.
That is the question.
But that's not our question. That is
well,
not,
in a way it is.
That is not our question.
It is our question.
It's beyond our ability to handle. It's beyond the ability of the city to rationalize, to regulate. I mean, I know there are great policy issues that stir our minds every morning when we turn the radio or the TV on. But there's only some that we can handle here.
I disagree.
Well, okay, but I'd love to see your plan for handling those.
Right now, the city is partially initiating that plan by saying to these guys, we're very sorry, but we don't want you here July and August.
But doesn't
so that makes this place less attractive to them. And so
I don't know where that goes with your other part of your argument, yeah, because that I totally understand.
Right.
I don't know. But there are certain, in other words, my only point in raising the terrible capitalism word is to say that there are some things that do tend to be self-regulatory, whether that fits one's political opinion or not. And we don't need to have figures on all of that.
So I have a suggestion